Praise God for His powerful presence in this place. Hallelujah. ഓ ഹല്ലേലൂയ ഹല്ലേലൂയ ദൈവത്തെ രുചിച്ചറിയുവാൻ ഓ ഹല്ലേലൂയ നമുക്ക് ഇന്ന് രാവിലെ കിട്ടിയ ഈ ഭാഗ്യത്തിനായി നമുക്ക് ദൈവത്തെ സ്തുതിക്കാം. ഹല്ലേലൂയ സ്തോത്രം. താങ്ക് യു ജീസസ്. ഹല്ലേലൂയ സ്തോത്രം. പ്രൈസ് ഗോഡ് ഫോർ ദിസ് വണ്ടർഫുൾ ടൈം ദറ്റ് ഗോഡ് ഹാസ് ഗിവൺ അസ് ടു ഗ്യാദർ ടുഗദർ ഇൻ ഹിസ് നെയിം. പ്രൈസ് ഗോഡ് ത്രൂ ദ മാൻ ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ത്രൂ സജി പാസ്റ്റർ. ഗോഡ് സ്പോക്ക് ടു അസ് ഫ്രം സാംസ്. And hallelujah, it's a testimony of even my life how God ee eliyaven nilavichu. Hallelujah, sagala kashtangal ninnum hallelujah nammale viduvichu. Adana nammada sakshyam. Hallelujah, that is our testimony. Hallelujah, our testimony is hallelujah, this humble people, lowly people like us, we cried out to God. God saved us. Hallelujah. Not just in our life from our physical problems. നമ്മളുടെ പാപ ജീവിതം നിന്ന് ഹല്ലേലൂയ രക്ഷിച്ച ദൈവമാണ് നമ്മൾ ഇന്ന് സ്തുതിക്കുന്നത്. He saved us from a life of sin and life of brokenness. Hallelujah. Thank God. I could feel the presence of God very powerfully and we are worshiping him. I pray that this encounter is not something that we just encounter on Sundays, but also every day of our life, that the Spirit of God will rest upon us and will minister to us. I want to take the Holy Word and speak from it in the little time that I have before me. Let us take John chapter 1. Verse 43. John chapter 1. Yohanan Suvisesham. Onnam Adhyayam. Adhinte 43-am Vakyam. Chapter 1 verse 43. The next day, he purposed to go into Galilee and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, follow me. So, right now we are in the book of Gospel of John. And we've been hearing many messages from the Gospel of John recently. Even in our Thursday meetings, God's servant has been speaking from the Gospel of John. But when we are looking at this portion, we're still in chapter 1, but this we looked at the creation and how Jesus was present in that time. We looked at John the Baptist, and we looked at the testimony that he has of Jesus being the Messiah. And then we're coming into verses 35 to verses 51. And we're going to see the first disciples of Jesus. So in the first itself, John the Baptist is saying, here is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And two disciples follow Jesus. So of those two disciples, one is Andrew and the other one is John, the author of this gospel. Both of them come to Jesus and they follow him. So verse 38, John chapter 1 verse 38, Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. This is Andrew and John. Andrew then goes and tells his brother Peter that they have met the Messiah. After that, the next day, he is going into Galilee, and he found Philip. Now, Philip is an interesting character. In fact, in this gospel, he gets a couple of lines. More than any other gospel, Philip speaks up in this chapter. You know, he's the one who's saying, when all these people have gathered before Jesus and they are hungry, Jesus is just like, you provide for them. Philip is like, you know, even if we have this many days' wages, we won't be able to feed this crowd. So Philip is someone who is a logical, practical person. He's also the person who comes before Jesus and Jesus says, you know, if you know me, you know the Father. And Philip says, we just have one question. Show me the Father. And Jesus is like, oh my goodness, how many times do I have to tell you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Philip is an interesting character. He asked the obvious questions. Everyone else is thinking it, but Philip is the one who voices it. Sometimes because of that, people think of Philip as someone who is not that clever. But I think he's clever because he's actually speaking up and asking the question. It is always that person in the class who asks the question who seems foolish, but everyone else is thinking the same question. You know, Philip is the one who is the representative of the disciples sometimes in speaking up. If Peter is the Eduthachadi, this guy is the one who is asking all the questions before the next time. It's very practical. Okay, so Philip is coming, and he is the only disciple who Jesus goes looking after. Every other disciple, at least in the Gospel of John, they come to Jesus. Jesus goes into Galilee with one purpose: I need to find this Philip guy. And he goes, meets Philip, and says, come and follow me. Now you will see some things in this. This particular portion of paragraph is where we start meeting the disciples of Jesus. We meet Andrew, we meet John, even though he's not introduced, his name is John. We meet Peter, we meet Philip, and then we are going to meet another disciple named Nathanael. Nathanael is not mentioned in any of the other Gospels. In fact, he's very silent even in the rest of this Gospel. But we actually think that his name is Bartholomew. That's a tongue twister in itself. The name Bartholomew is son of Ptolemy. That is how Bar. If you say Bar Jonas, it's the son of Jonah, Jonas. So here, Nathanael means gift of God. You know, we have Jonathan. Jonathan means gift of God or gift of Yahweh. Thank you. Nathan in Hebrew means give or gift. So Nathanael is Nathan El, which is gift from Elohim or gift of God. So here, Philip is from Bethsaida, the same place as where Andrew and John is from. So let's read verse 44 onwards. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Now here is Philip, who is like an evangelist. Jesus tells Philip, come and follow me. And after following Jesus, Philip realizes there is something different about this Jesus. He is, so he knows he's the son of Joseph. In fact, actually, is Jesus the son of Joseph? No. He is the son of Mary. Joseph is just his legal, you know, descendant. So in the same way, Jesus, he says the son of Joseph, and he says that this one, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about. So this identity is that of the Messiah. So Philip already knows that Jesus is the Messiah. So he wants to go and invite his friend. So he goes to Nathanael and tells him, you know, I have met the Messiah. Come. But Nathanael is like, where is he? He's from Jesus of Nazareth. What good will come from Nazareth? Now, I looked at scripture. I thought maybe there's some scripture that says, is there anything good that comes from Nazareth? There is no verse like that. Nathanael has just a very poor opinion about this town, Nazareth. And it's almost like, you know, they're rival cities or rival towns to each other. And he is like, what good will come from that town? If anything, it'll come from my town. But what will come from Nazareth? But Philip is, interestingly, not interested in trying to defend the honor of Jesus. Philip is not trying to say, let me give you 10 reasons why Jesus is the Messiah. He doesn't go to speak and said, other good things have come from Nazareth too. He doesn't give a defense. All he says is, come and see. This is the same line that Jesus used on the previous two disciples when Andrew and John came and said, Rabbi, where are you staying? What did Jesus say? Come and see. You see, Jesus invites us to come and see him. Our greatest testimony, our greatest reason for bringing people to Christ is not through intellect or through knowledge. You just tell them, come. Come and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who places trust in him. Just like the psalmist says, we can give all our opinions. We can tell Jesus is the King of Kings. We can tell him he is the Creator God. Maybe they will say, I don't know this God. If he did this, then why did this happen? If he did this, why did that happen? Why did this happen in my life? Why are you still suffering? And these questions come, you just say, come and see. Your job is not to defend Jesus. Your job is to introduce Jesus. Jesus himself invites, come and see. This is the difference between our God and any other God. Every other God needs someone to defend them. Jesus says, come and taste me. Come and eat of me. Come and I will give you rest. I will give you food. I will give you water that will make you never thirst again. Jesus is the hope. Jesus is our source. We are nobody. Just like John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. In the same way, all we have to do is just say, I don't have anything to give you. Come to Jesus. In Acts, there is also, once again, two people who approach the temple. Their name is Peter and John. At this beautiful gate, they meet this poor man who's been lame all his life, begging. What does Peter say? Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give unto you, the name of Jesus Christ. You see, the most precious commodity is not silver or gold. It is not what we possess. It is the name of Jesus. You introduce the name of Jesus to people, there is deliverance. There is healing. There is refuge. There is fortress. This morning, the songs that we sang, if you notice the theme, I always pay attention to the theme of the songs. I don't know if they're intentionally picking it or not, or they're thinking of like which scale will stick through the scale. I have no idea, but it doesn't matter to me. There is, I believe the Holy Spirit leads it. All the songs, the theme was the might of God, the strength of God. He is mighty to save. He is our deliverer. He is our protector, and he is worthy of worship. That was the theme of the songs, both in English and in Malayalam. The theme of the song was God is mighty to save. See, it is not our ability. What can we do? The problem with us Christians is we are trying to problem solve. We are trying to think what we can bring. But Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is inviting us to come and see, come and taste, come and know. In other religions, you have to come to know God and people have to speak about him. Here, you come to church. Of course, I'm the one preaching. But if you go to the Word of God and you study God's Word and you ask God, Jesus, will you speak to me? Will you reveal yourself to me? Jesus will reveal himself to you. He will speak to you. In fact, in the Middle East, where there are a lot of people who don't have exposure to Christianity, Christian books are outlawed. It is impossible to bring the Bible into those nations. Any Christian radio station or any Christian TV station is blocked, is banned in those places. Preaching the gospel is considered outlawed or illegal, and you can be kicked out of the country or even face worse things if you're preaching in some of the Middle Eastern countries. In those places, Jesus is revealing himself to Muslims through dreams. They don't have the Bible. They don't have missionaries coming there. Jesus is revealing himself through dreams. And God is sending certain secret missionaries to those people directly. If you hear stories about what God is doing through missionaries in the Middle East, you will be surprised. Some of them, even before they meet them, 1 year before, God shows them in a dream, the local Muslim people, that a person wearing this shirt is going to stand at the street and he will give you a book, grab and read that book.
A year later, that happens. This person sees this person and says, I've seen you in my dream. You have a book to give me. Pulls out, gets the Bible. This is happening as a miracle in the Middle East. God is reaching. See, this is the love of God. He reaches to people and invites them to come and taste and know him. In this place, we have the freedom to know God. In this place, we have come to taste and see that our God is good. But you see, God is not a genie. God is not someone who's waiting to answer our wish list. God wants us to come to know him. Because if we know him, then we will sing that line, we want nothing more, nothing but you. That's what we sang this morning, nothing but you. We don't want anything else. If we have Jesus, we have everything. Everything that we earn on this earth will disappear. But what we gain in Jesus lasts eternal. So let's continue reading about Nathanael. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Okay, so in India, where my grandparents, where they live in Mylapore, I lived there in 10th grade. And, you know, we have a lot of land. So there are so many things that are growing. There is bananas in every house in Kerala. We have a banana, you know, flower or growth, you know, plant growing. And then you have, you know, jackfruit trees. We have got, you know, guava, perica, all of that. So many different fruits. All of us have this. Maybe we don't experience it because nobody's there in India taking care of the house. So we don't have anything there. But if we lived there, we grow all these things in our backyards. Here also we grow, but it's limited because through half the year, nothing is produced, you know, because of the snow and the places. But in India, there was a particular bush in like two levels behind the house. So there is like this incline. And I would climb up and go and sit underneath this bush. This was the coffee bush. So I don't know if you have seen coffee bushes, but like, you know, they are very thick growth. But if you go under the bush, there is this space. It's like as if there's this little space. So I would put a small, I don't know how to say it, like in India, like when you're grating coconut, you know, like charta chembole. Now, there's a certain way to do it. Otherwise, you will get the bark also. So there's a certain way to do it. But when people are sitting and doing it, they sit on a small, very small stool. Like it's all the way to the ground, a small stool. That stool I would take and go. Charawa, yeah, so that's what it's called. So I would take that small charawa and take it and put it underneath the bush. I would sit there and talk to God. That was my thing. So that was like my space where it was just intimate with me and just between me and my God. Another reason is like if Appachi and Amachi are calling me to do some work, they don't know where I am. I'm hiding under the coffee bush. Money, Joel Money, I have a coffee. I'm praying, but it's like nobody can hear me, nobody can see me. I can rest and spend time. So this in the Middle East, this is the fig tree. Every house in the Middle East has a fig tree in their backyard. Everyone has it. It's like common. Like in the Middle East, you know, in the middle of the road, there is all these date trees growing. In Israel, it was a fig tree. Every house had a fig tree. But what was common was that they would go under the fig tree as a place of meditation. It was a place where they spent time with God and they were talking to him. The difference here is that Nathanael is spending time with his God one-on-one. Very intimate moment. Nobody else is seeing him. This is his special time with God. But when Philip came and called Nathanael, he said, what is there to see? As soon as he comes, Jesus says, I saw you. Even before he came close, I saw you. Even before Philip called, I saw you under the fig tree. The reason why is because Jesus is God. And Nathanael was talking to his God. So Jesus sees Nathanael under the tree and calls him, says, behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. In fact, this is the only place in the Gospels where anyone is called an Israelite. Nowhere else is anyone called an Israelite. The word Jew is used often, but the word Israelite is only used here. Why does it call Israelite? It's because the name of Israel came from where? From Jacob. Jacob's name, what was his name? He was a cheat. He was a cheater. His name also means chadian or cheater. This guy's name was changed from Jacob to Israel when he was fighting against the angel. I'll tell you another thing. That verse there, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. That word deceit there, the Greek word, if we change it to Hebrew, it actually means Jacob. So Jesus is saying to this guy, you're changed. You are not like everyone else. Your name has been changed from Jacob, from a cheater, from a Chadian, to an Israelite, who was the name given by the angel. And what does Israel mean? One who fights with God. Do you know that? Israel means mallidanava. You know, a person who's fighting with God. How did Jacob get that name? He wrestled with an angel and won. If there's a lot of it, if I go into the history of it, there is a lot to say. But in the book of Hosea, it says, how did Jacob win? He did not use physical strength. When we think of it, we often think that Jacob was using physical strength against an angel. If he was using physical strength, he would have lost. Angels are supernatural beings. God is a supernatural being. How did he overpower this angel? How did he overpower God? It actually is God, not angel, but it's the angel of the Lord. How did he overpower? The book of Hosea in chapter 12, I'm not going to take that verse. If you read there, it says that Jacob fought with an angel. He cried and he wept and he overpowered him. You see, our God is a God who sees our tears. Today we read about, I said in the spirit, Hagarinte karachal ketta devam. Hannah Karachal Keta Devam. Nathaniel was crying under the fig tree. He was fighting with God. Just like Jacob was fighting with God in Yabok as he was fighting, same, God saw Nathaniel's tears. God saw Hannah's tears. God saw Hagar's tears. God saw Jacob's tears and changed his name from Jacob, cheater, to an Israelite. So here, Jesus is speaking to Nathaniel and saying, you are a real Israelite. You are crying. Nobody saw. After when Philip called Nathaniel, Nathaniel, he wiped his tears and acted like he was okay. But there was a God who saw him. A God who saw Nathaniel's tears. That is why as soon as it was said there, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called, Nathaniel says, verse 48, Nathaniel said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. 49, Nathaniel answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Immediately through that one statement, Nathaniel knew, this is my King. This is my God. Ende karachal kaanana devam. The God who sees my tears. Oh, Yaakobin alanyappol ketta karachal. We just sang that song. Hallelujah. Yaakobine pole njan karanyappol. Hagarine pole njan karanyappol. Yaakobine pole njan alanyappol. So the God who heard the cry of Jacob, God who saw the tears of Hagar, is now seeing the pain and the tears and the cry of Nathaniel and says, I see you. You see, when we are crying sometimes before God, it feels that nobody knows our pain. Nobody knows our situation. Nobody knows our circumstance. It feels like we're all alone. But God says, I see you. That is our God. Then, verse 50, Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. 51,
And he said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In fact, this is playing on Genesis chapter 28. Now, Jesus has already linked Nathanael to Jacob. Where is the other portion of scripture where the heavens are opened and the angels descend? In Bethel, in the house of God. What is happening? A ladder comes down. Jacob is lost. He has nowhere to go. He has no house. He is kicked out from his own house, from his land. He's going into another land where he doesn't know where he's going. All he has is a stone as his pillow. And there, God opens up the heavens and sends his angels to minister to Jacob. Nathanael is saying, I have nothing. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't even have anything to call my own. It feels like I'm left alone. I'm lonely. And Jesus says, you will see the heavens opened and the angels descend. In Jacob's dream, it's a ladder. In here, the ladder is Jesus. Jesus is the ladder that bridges earth and heaven. What is your problem today? What is your circumstance? Maybe you are kicked out from your house. Maybe you have lost your possession. Maybe you have everything familiar to you is gone away from you. And you feel like you're totally abandoned. Your mother and father have left. Your siblings is threatening to kill you. You have nowhere to go. You are going to a stranger's house with nothing in your hand. There, when you cry out to God at Bethel, at the house of God, and you cry out, God will open the heavens and send his angels to minister to you. Jesus is the answer for the world today. I didn't know what this passage meant before. The lot of time, every time I've read this passage of the Gospel of John about Nathanael, I've always been confused. But this time, when I read it this week as I was studying it, the Spirit of God told me, some of you are like Jacob crying. Some of you are like Hagar crying, far removed from everyone else, crying in the secret place, crying under the fig tree, crying in the wilderness. The God who answered Hagar's cry, the God who answered Jacob's cry, is here in our midst. He is the one who bridges heaven and earth for us. He will send his angels to guard over us. He will send his angels to minister to us. What do you need? If only you have tears and you feel like nobody else hears you, it is more than enough that God hears you. This morning, I'm ending my words here and saying, Jesus is here today. He sees your tears. He hears your cry. Praise team, let us come forward to close. But, you know, when we sang that song, Agarine pole nyan karinya pole, Yakobine pole nyan alenya pole, Marubumi ilenikyu, Jeeva jelam tandani, Itra tolam Yehova sahayichu. He is a God who opens fountains of water in your wilderness. He is the God who opens an answer for your problem. He is the God who turns Esau, who's coming to kill you, into a blessing. He is the God who provides for you where you have nothing in your pocket. He is a God who hears your cry. He is a God who sees your tear. He is a God who knows you. Even though your identity was a cheater or like Jacob, behold, God is making you an Israelite, a person who's able to fight with God and win. Sakshal Israeli. Nammalde muttin mel nammal prarthikkumbol, when we go on our knees and we cry out to God, there is a God who sees. Philip might not see your pain. Philip might not see your problem. But let me tell you, children of God, there are people out there in the world who need to be introduced to Jesus. Let us go out into the world and say, come and see.
Your cry will be answered at the feet of Jesus. Your tears that you have been crying out will be answered to the feet of Jesus. I have nothing. Silver and gold I have none. But what I have I given to you, the name of Jesus Christ. Children of God, let us use our God-given identity to praise God today. Let us praise Him and glorify Him. Let us all stand up in the presence of the Lord as we are getting ready for giving our tithe to God. Let us thank God this morning. Father Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for ministering to us. Thank you for hearing our cry. Thank you for seeing our pain. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the answer. You are the bridge. You are the one who ministers to us. We love you, Jesus. Teach us to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.